Let me pray for us as I begin to speak out of God's word today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we often find your word a bit confusing and certainly often challenging. And we ask you today to help us understand and then be willing to change or modify the way we behave in the light of the challenge you have for us today. And Lord, we can't do that on our own. We ask you by your Holy Spirit to be in our minds and in our hearts now as we listen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, I'm sure Patrick won't mind if I tell you that in the office there's been a certain amount of humour recently, because every time we've talked about this service, my curate has said, "Oh, you mean Mother's Day?" And I've said, "No, I don't mean Mother's Day. I mean Mothering Sunday." The world calls it Mother's Day now, as opposed to Father's Day. But actually, in the church, we call it Mothering Sunday. Why do we call it Mothering Sunday? Because this day began originally as a time, the annual event, when you were allowed, if you were in service in the big house, for example, you were allowed to go home to your mother church, the place where you had been baptized, which is why we've had such an emphasis on where you were baptized today. You were allowed to go home, and because people were generally not very far away from where they were baptized, they often would walk home. And at this time of year, as we see in our hedgerows, as they walked, they saw little spring flowers coming up. And so they began to pick little posies. And when they got home, that wasn't the focus of where they were going. They were wanting to go to their mother church. But when they got home, they gave this little posy to their mum. And that's where, that's the germ of Mother's Day. But I will never call it Mother's Day because it excludes so many people who are part of the family of God. So this is Mothering Sunday. It's where we celebrate that we are part of God's family. We are members of the church family. And most of us, we don't live where we were baptized, with one exception this morning. We're in a different place from where we were baptized. And this church has become our mother church, if you like, our soil, to go back to the illustration that Patrick gave us. So this is a celebration of church family in all its aspects. And so I hope everybody feels included. This is not meant to be a day on which anybody feels excluded. This is everybody in the church family. Obviously, we celebrate mothers too, but this is everybody in the church family. And I've called this talk today and this service today, Love Hurts. We've had an illustration of that already in the sad news I had to pass on. But the gospel reading for today is from Luke, and it's chapter 2. And these words are spoken by the priest Simeon in the temple to Mary. We're on page 56 in the New Testament, if you'd like to look at it. I'm only going to read two verses. Two verses from Luke chapter 2 and verse 33. The child, that is Jesus, father and mother, were amazed at what was being said about him, Jesus. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. We're not that far from Easter, the events of Good Friday. How Mary and Joseph must have suffered through the years, and then obviously Mary's widowed by the time of Jesus' death, and we hear of her huge grief and sorrow as she sees what happens to her son. Love hurts. And we know it hurts, don't we? We live in families, whatever the shape of those families, whatever the size of those families. Within families, we can often behave in ways or speak in ways that are really quite hurtful. But also, we experience the ups and downs of family life, unemployment, death, suffering, etc., etc. I want to talk this morning briefly about two aspects of love. Love within a human family and love within the church family. We see this passage. Mary is told that her heart will be broken one day because of what happens to her son. Love brings pain and it brings heartache. Queen Elizabeth quoted from Dr. Colin Parks, who is a hospice chaplain and doctor, who is an expert on bereavement. And Queen Elizabeth used his quote after September the 11th, 9/11 as we call it. And he wrote this: "The pain of grief is just as much part of life as the joy of love. It is perhaps the price we pay for love, the cost of commitment. If we're in our family, there will be ups and downs, just as Mary experienced. And some of those are gut-wrenching, aren't they? We know that. God created human family so that we can provide support for one another, just as the plant needs support. We can provide the very stuff of life for one another. What word does Simeon use for love here, though? In this passage, in Luke chapter 2, when Mary is told that a sword will pierce your heart, and the word love is used, it's not eros, passionate love. It's a word, agape, which is a Greek word for love, which is used throughout the New Testament. And it actually becomes the hallmark of the church family. So I want to take you now to John chapter 13. John chapter 13 and verse 34. Before Jesus died on the cross, which caused his mother and others who loved him such pain, he said this to his disciples: "Where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." It's one of the last things that Jesus said. It's therefore very, very important. And we, as the church family, live under and according to this commandment that Jesus gave. And this word that Jesus says, that's translated as love here, "I give you a new commandment that you love one another," is the same word that we've talked about. It's agape. And agape is one of four or five different Greek words, New Testament Greek words, for love. It's very specific. What does it mean? It means love of the heart. It's a feeling directed by the will, by the brain. And I often preach on this at weddings, because at weddings we're so thrilled at this eros love, the romantic love that the couple have. And we celebrate that rightly. But that love is not the love that will keep a marriage together. It's agape love that will keep a marriage together. When your partner, your spouse, does that irritating thing for the 100th time, you have to choose to continue to love. It's agape love that keeps the world going. That's the love that Jesus gave to us. Love of the heart, directed by the will. Jesus chose to die on the cross. It was love directed by his will, his choice to love. And it's our choice to love as well. And love hurts. It means within the body that we talked about in Ephesians, and let's look at that, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 6, page 191. It means that we really have to work at it. I beg you, Paul writes, to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. Agape, love of the heart directed by the will. It's a choice to love. Now, I know that within our church family, we often annoy one another. We often irritate one another. I irritate you, you irritate me, and so on, multiplied by infinity. How do we deal with that? How do we show love when we're not necessarily feeling it? We apply agape love, and we do what it says here. Make every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Verse 2, with all humility, gentleness, patience. In my Greek Bible, the translation is actually with all humility, meekness, with long suffering. Have you got fed up with somebody in the church recently? Have they said something to you that was rather harsh and you didn't understand? Don't grumble. Don't gossip. Go to them. Love them. Be long-suffering, humble, and meek. Why? Not so that our church is full of people. No, it's because it's the command that Jesus gave us. This is the way the world is to know that God is worth following. That we love one another. By this, the world will know that you are my disciples, that you love one another. Jesus isn't talking about all the ministries, all the service, all the lovely things we can do for one another and the community. He says the bedrock of it all is the quality of your relationships. And the quality of our relationships needs to be like Jesus' relationships. When the disciples let him down, he loved them. He forgave them. When he was faced with the cross, he chose to die out of love for everyone. Our Mothering Sunday service is all about love. Love within a human family, love within the church family. Within the church family, it's the way the world knows that God is real, that God means something to us. And so often, and I'm so sorry about this, and as a priest, it really distresses me that so often the church is known as that cliquey place where people are really gossipy about one another in private. And love is perhaps the last thing on people's minds. So, love of the heart directed by the will is what God showed us in sending Jesus. Jesus showed us that love. He sacrificed his life. We are called to show that love to one another in our human families, because it's the way the world works, I believe, and in our church family. Love hurts. We suffer with one another, and we have to have our sharp edges knocked off ourselves. So it hurts in that way too. Let's celebrate, though, all that God has done for us in Jesus, the love that he has for us, the forgiveness we can enjoy because of his agape love for you and I. Let's pray as we remain seated. Lord, today we acknowledge that love does hurt. And we think of all the family ups and downs we've been through, the losses we've recently suffered, and the troubles that we endure alongside loved ones. Lord, we thank you too that you've called us by baptism into your church family here in this place in Oxshott. Help us, Lord, to be long-suffering. Help us to bear with one another in love. Help us to follow your example. Lord, we can't do this in our own strength. We do ask you to come with the wind of your Holy Spirit to keep our focus on you and following your command to love one another, that the world may know that we are your disciples and that we bring you glory. We ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.